Beloved of God, who are called to be saints, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear them, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey. By the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim. In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh,
stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger refuse when your people pray?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the food of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, and the one you have made so strong for yourself.
And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart from the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
It was just a few days before Christmas, and a woman woke up with a start, and she turned to her husband and said, "I just had the most wonderful dream. I dreamed that you gave me a diamond necklace for Christmas." "What do you think that dream means?" And her husband said, "You'll find out in a few days." The next morning, she woke up, turned to her husband, and said, "I had the most wonderful dream. I dreamed that you gave me a diamond necklace for Christmas. What do you think it means?" He said, "You'll know tomorrow." The third morning, the woman wakes up, smiles at her husband, and says, "I had that same wonderful dream that you gave me a diamond necklace for Christmas. What do you think that dream means?" And he said, "You'll know tonight." That evening, after dinner, the man presented his woman a small package tied up with a Christmas bow. She smiled and gently opened the package very carefully, and inside she found a book titled "The Meaning of Dreams." Do you pay attention to your dreams? To what your dreams mean? Do you look for meaning in your dreams? Vicar Joshua and I were talking right before the service about a dream that he had most recently on a Saturday night. And he dreamed that I called him and said, "I'm not coming to church this morning. Go ahead and do the service and preach." And that would be one of those, what we call anxiety dreams. Do you know that a person, an average person, dreams about 2,000 dreams in a year? Now, of course, most of us don't remember all of those dreams, because that's several dreams a night, probably 5 or 6 dreams a night, that if a person is getting normal sleep, would have that many dreams. Joseph remembered his dreams. He didn't need any book to tell him the meaning of his dreams. That dream that he had that was recorded in the gospel that we heard this morning, that was such a clear and direct dream, almost like the voice of God telling him what to do. Now, I imagine Joseph to be a man who liked to know where he was heading, a man who was in control of his life and had his future all planned out. I'm just making this up, but this is how I think of Joseph. I think a lot of people are like that. We like to have some idea of what is our future, what's in store for us. We like to have a plan for our future and some control over what will get us to that place, to that future, to that goal that we have, to that fulfillment of our dreams. I imagine that Joseph had a plan for his future with his fiancée, Mary. You know, he could look back generations and that had preceded him and know what his life was supposed to be like, what a hardworking carpenter and a beautiful young bride, what their future might be. And then all of those dreams are shattered. Mary turns up pregnant with a child that he knows for sure is not his. The Bible doesn't tell us how Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant or how much of the story she actually told him. But the truth is, Joseph finds himself in a situation over which he has no control. The future would be drastically different from what he had planned, for what he had hoped for. The law said that he was to divorce her. In betrothal was such a contract that it took a divorce to get out of. The law said that he was to divorce her and she should be killed along with the man who was the father, that they should be killed in public for their scandalous activity. But an angel in a dream tells Joseph to go ahead with the marriage. Go ahead and take Mary into your house because the child is the Son of God. Now that answer, that dream, seems like it's the answer to Joseph's dilemma. His life is back on track now. He knows what is the right thing to do. All he has to do is take Mary as his wife and welcome that child, Jesus, into his life. That might seem like a simple solution. There may be a book called The Meaning of Dreams, but I doubt that there was a book called How to Raise Your Adopted Child Who Happens to Be the Son of God. The control that Joseph once had over his life and destiny was turned upside down because of that one dream. He saw his life now not so much in his own control, but totally in the control of God. His life went from his plan and control of his life to the plan and the control of God. His faith now was not so much a general faith in God, but a faith in God that was there to help him, a God that was in his life in a way that it had never been before, a God who was going to help him in any situation. We think that, we like to think that we're in control of our lives, that we're the master of our own destiny, but that isn't the case. Now, we're not like Joseph in the manner of his awakening to that reality that he wasn't in control. We are not called to be the guardian of the Son of God, the protector of Mary and Jesus. But most of us find, as Joseph did, that our hopes and plans for the future can be drastically upset. Maybe it's a pink slip that appears in your office mailbox. Maybe it's the disconcerting results of a lab test. Maybe it's some financial misfortune, or divorce, or the death of a loved one. Maybe it's an unplanned pregnancy, or a child in trouble with drugs, or alcohol, or the law. Whatever it is, it turns our life upside down, and there doesn't seem to be anything holy about it. At times like that, it's good to remember these words of Scripture. Do not be afraid. Whenever angels appear in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, any story in the Bible that has angels, the first words out of the angel's mouth, do not be afraid. The angel says to Joseph in his dream, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And it's this point in the story that our lives and Holy Scripture intersect. God telling us, don't be afraid. We look at the events that jar us from our dreams, that turn our plans and our world upside down. We can look at those events and take an attitude that says, we've been ripped off. Life isn't fair. At least it's not fair for me. Or we can look at these events, these shattered hopes and dreams, and we can ask, where is God in all this? My Hebrew professor had a big sign on his office door that said, Tohu Abohu. That means, in Hebrew, a place of chaos. A deep, empty, waterless place. Right next door to the Hebrew professor's office was the professor for contextual education and pastoral care. And his sign on the door, equally big sign, said, Wigiat. W-I-G-I-A-T. Now, when some people would ask him, you know, you're supposed to know everything in seminary, so you usually didn't ask questions like, what does that mean? So when people did ask, he would say, it says Wigiat. Well, what does that mean? W-I-A-G-A-T. Where is God in all this? Where is God in all this? What might God be calling you to? What might God be calling me to do in this situation? How has this event that has turned my life upside down become an opportunity to see what God is up to in my life? How is God acting through me in the world today, in this situation? Wigiat. Maybe we're called to re-examine our priorities, to look again at our values, decide what really is the right thing to do, to look past the rules, like Joseph did, to look past the rules of what we've always done or what will others think. Maybe this event that has turned my dreams upside down, maybe it's a new dream that we can wake up to. Maybe it's a new dream of what it means to be God's beloved child. Wigiat. Where is God in all this? tell you about my friend Suzanne. She and her husband had been married for about 4 or 5 years, and they were looking for a house to buy. She had her heart set on this country home, a beautiful, relatively new house, and she loved it. It sat out on the edge of town. She loved the open design. The first floor was all one big open room, but it only had 2 bedrooms. And the trip into town every day would have been a little taxing in the wintertime. So they started looking at older homes in the middle of town. Her husband kept saying, "Close to everything. It's close to everything." And the big old house had 5 bedrooms and a huge family room. And he said, "Well, we can turn that family room into a workout room. This will be good. And we can have a bunch of kids, and we'll fill up those bedrooms." So they bought the old house, and they started fixing it up. And as they did so, he started to unravel. A few months later, he was admitted to the hospital with a brain disorder. He would never be the same. A few months after that, Suzanne gave birth to her first and only child, baby Benedict. Came into the world with severe mental and physical disabilities. He's a beautiful child. Never learned to sit up, speak, hear, see. Her dreams of being a wife and a mother were totally turned upside down. She asked the question, "Wigiat, where is God in all this?" She decided to bring her husband home and her baby. She thought that she could love them better and take care of them more than in an institution. The workout room became a physical therapy room with a hospital bed for the baby. Suzanne changed her career path. She started taking classes in nursing and psychiatry. A few years after that, she took into her home a mentally handicapped adult. Ralphie had lived in her neighborhood when she was growing up, and his parents had died. She brought him into her home. One of those 5 bedrooms now was Ralphie's room. I've heard that there is another handicapped adult living with Suzanne and Benedict and her husband and Ralphie. Suzanne's life was very different from what she had planned when I knew her in college. She saw God in all of this, and she did the right thing in a way that she never dreamed. She saw a light in the darkness, and she's taught everybody who comes into the circle of that light what it means to listen to God in the events and in the situations of life. Not a single one of us exists without affecting the world around us. By our very existence, we use up resources, we take up space, and we affect the lives of others, whether we want to or not. The question is, what will that effect be? Will God be known through us? Will we wake up to God's dream for us? Joseph paid attention to his dreams, and the Savior of the world was born in Bethlehem. He paid attention to his dreams and did the right thing. Might we learn something from Joseph? Wake up, do the right thing, even when your dreams are turned upside down. I wish you all sweet dreams. Not during the sermon, but I wish you all sweet dreams. And that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be with you to help you answer the question, Wigiat. Where is God in all of this?